chapter 11. I hope you have your Bible with you, that you look with us in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. After you've found that, we have the verses on the wall. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Then turn to the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. Preaching today about God meant it for good. God meant it for good. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22, then Genesis chapter 50 and verses 15 through 21. Starting, please, with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, and this is a great faith chapter, the faith heroes of faith. By faith, Joseph, and this is strange, for it says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, or as he was dying, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, that is, the departing children of Israel from Egypt, when they would leave that land in 2.5 million people. By faith, Joseph made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. Then turn, please, to Genesis chapter 50, and starting with verse 15. Genesis 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father, that is Jacob, was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly require or punish us for all the evil that we've done unto him. They had a guilty conscience. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father Jacob did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the transgressions, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee forgive the trespasses of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down. They fell down on their face. They said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people. Look at Genesis 50 and that 20th verse, and that's the verse that I want us to read together today. We stand, please, with me. And Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Verse 20, are you ready? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to such much people alive. Be seated, please. God meant it for good. In the book of Genesis, we find this man, Joseph. 12 chapters devoted to this man, Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, the next to the youngest child. He was a favorite son of his father, old father Jacob. And his mother, of course, was Rachel. Of all the Bible characters, we find a couple of Bible characters, nothing negative. None of the transgressions are mentioned at all. Joseph was one of those. By the way, Joseph is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Daniel, nothing at all mentioned as far as moral failures recorded in the Word of God. These two men, Joseph and Daniel, were two great servants of God. What was the secret of Joseph? What was his secret? Because he enjoyed the presence of God, he felt and he practiced the presence of God. He was constantly walking with God. And then the second reason, I believe, is that he experienced the purpose of God. This is very important in life, to feel the purpose of God in your life. It is important for you and important for me to feel and to understand that we're walking in the purpose of God, that we are following the plan of God, that we're following the script of God for our lives. So Jacob, or Joseph, enjoyed the presence of God and experienced the purpose of God. Very quickly today, and I'll move very rapidly today, there are four things I think about when we think about God meant it for good. Number one, Joseph's faith. He was a man of faith. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. But we also see Joseph as he was forgetting. There were some things that he forgot. And then we see the freedom of Joseph. And then finally we see the forgiving of Joseph. God meant it for good. Let's see, first of all, Joseph's faith. In Hebrews 11, we read, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. God said that Joseph was a man of faith, faith which made him diligent, faith which made him dependable, faith which made him different in his life. Someone said that faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and does the impossible. Faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and does the impossible. And so Joseph was a man of faith. In fact, his son Ephraim, really, in Genesis 41 and verse 52, his name really means, Ephraim means to cause to be faithful. God caused this man to be faithful. God does not ask us to be famous. God does not ask us to be great people. He just asks us to do something that every one of us can do by His power. That is to be faithful. God expects us to be faithful. So he's a man of faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace through faith, and we live by grace, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so we see this man, Joseph, we see his faith. And oh, I pray that people will see my faith. I pray that people will see your faith by His grace and by His power. And they can see that faith by His grace and power. And so Joseph said, God meant it for good. God is working in my life. Now, secondly, we see not only his faith, but we see his forgetting. The Bible tells us about forgetting. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there's some things that we need to forget by God's power. And so God's Word says in the New Testament, we are to forget those things which are behind. We cannot live in the past. We learn from the past, but we cannot live in the past. And so there's some things that Joseph forgot. He forgot the problem home that he lived in. You know the story, how that his father was partial to him, and what a terrible sin that is. He gave him a coat of many colors. And that coat of many colors meant, his father giving him that coat of many colors meant that he was a favorite son. He was the 11th son. The first son was the one who's supposed to get the double portion. And yet he's the 11th son, and by giving his son the coat of many colors, he was saying, this is my heir. This is the one that I'm going to be working through and living through by his grace and by his power. And what a sin it was. He grew up as he was forgetting that partiality that his parents showed to him. But also he forgot the dysfunctional family that he grew up in. Now, I'm not going to ask you to admit and confess that you grew up in a dysfunctional family. But I will tell you that I did. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. I'm from a broken home. My parents divorced after I got married. And so it was truly not a terrible home, but a dysfunctional home. And I saw things that I should not have seen. And so Joseph's father's home a terrible thing. I cannot go through the litany of all the things that happened to that terrible family, but they could have had written a soap opera from Jacob's family and the family that Joseph grew up in. And so a lot of people say, "Oh, Brother Bill, you just don't understand how I grew up. You just can't understand what kind of family I grew up in. That's why I'm living like I am, and that's why I am like I am, and it's somebody else's fault. It's my parents' fault." Oh, my friends, Joseph, of which there's nothing negative written in the Word of God about him, grew up in a dysfunctional family. Welcome to the club. Amen. And so he forgot those things. He forgot the hatred of his brothers. Now, I know that there's been some terrible things that's happened to you. But you know what? Joseph's brothers planned to kill him. Now, but nobody here will say that. Now, my brother would say that I almost did. Don't believe anything that he says. He has all of this incredible stories that he tells. How I pushed him off of a cliff and all those things. But that's not really, it's fiction, okay? But none of us have had a brother or sister who tried to kill us. And yet this is what happened to Joseph, and he forgot those things. He put those things behind him. He forgot about being sold. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. And he must forget about those things. And there's some things, if you're going to serve God and be healthy in your mind, you're going to have to forget. You're going to have to lay them aside and bury them as God forgives those things. They sold him. He forgot about that. He said, "I'm going to forget about that." And in fact, the name of Manasseh means, he said, "God has made me to forget." That's what the name Manasseh, his first son, means. God has made me to forget. Oh, God, help people here to forget about the terrible things that have happened in their life in the past. In Potiphar's house, he forgot about those things. Now, Potiphar's wife was a real good looker. I mean, she was a pretty thing, a pretty lady, if you please. But you know the story, how that she laid her eyes upon him and sought to get him to commit adultery with him. And Joseph said, I will not break the trust of my master. He told that woman, he said, "Potiphar has given me everything, the rule of everything in this house, except you. I will not dishonor my master Potiphar." He said, "I will not violate my character. I will not violate my character. I will not forfeit my fellowship with God. I will not forfeit my fellowship with God." When you think about a sin that you're going to commit, and we usually think it out, and we decide, "I'm going to do it anyway." So we ask the question, is that sin worth forfeiting my fellowship with God? And the answer is no. 1,000 times. No. And so, you know the story. She grabbed him one day, and he ran out of his coat, and he fled. The only thing we can do, there are times when we need to flee. The Word of God says, flee youthful lust. Some of you are young, and the hormones are raging. They're not just kind of bubbling. They're raging within you, raging in your body. And there are times in your life when you must flee youthful lust. And so he forgot that. And you know what she did? She told all what story that she made up. And here Joseph is in prison. Prison 2 years for something that he did not do. Thrown into prison. But in the prison, Joseph was prosperous. Everything that happened in the prison, they turned it over to Joseph. And they made him in charge, put him in charge of the prisoners. And he did not have a bad attitude. He did not have a chip upon his shoulder. He was not crying out, "Poor me." And he was pleasant. He had power in that prison, even in prison, he had power. And so he had planned. Remember the story about the two guys who were there with him? And they had dreams. And he interpreted their dreams. One of them was hanged and the other was released. And so Joseph said now to the one who's released, hey, put in a good word for me when you get out, when you get out of here. When you talk to the king, put in a good word for me. Guess what happened? The guy forgot, completely forgot about Joseph. Have you ever done somebody some great deed and they just forgot about it? They just thought, and here he is. But God had a plan. And Pharaoh had a dream also. You know the dream that he had of the seven cows who were really beautiful. Seven of them were terrible and the ribs were showing. And seven ears of corn that were full and seven ears of corn that were blasted. But no one could interpret that dream. And suddenly that guy remembered. He said, oh, have you ever had a oh moment? Oh, he said, when I was in prison, when you'd put me in prison, this guy interpreted my dream and told me that I'd get out. And the other guy that he'd be hung, and he was hung, and I'm out. And that guy can interpret your dream. Well, they sent for Joseph in prison. He had to shave and he had to clean up and gave him some clean clothes. And here he is, and he gets his freedom. So we see his faith. We see his forgetting. What about your faith? What about your faith? You can't live on mama's faith and daddy's faith. It's got to be your faith by his grace and power. What are the things that you need to forget and dig a hole somewhere and bury those things once and for all? Bury them. But thirdly, we see Joseph in his freedom. He's in Pharaoh's court. And so he interprets the dream. And so there he is. He's been in prison. He's been a slave for 13 years. But he gives glory to God. He gives glory to God. He gives first place to God. He gives praise to God. And so here he is, 30 years old. Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. He's 30 years old now. And so Pharaoh said, no one else can do what needs to be done except you. And you are going to be second in command. Only behind me will you be. Here's a man who's 30 years old who's been done wrong. He could have written that song, a lot of verses of that song. Somebody's done me wrong. Somebody's done me wrong. Some of you sing that song a lot. Somebody's done me wrong. My wife did me wrong. My husband did me wrong. My children did me wrong. They've done me wrong at work. I was supposed to get that job, and I didn't get that job. Boy, forget about that. Somebody done me wrong singing. And so because he didn't do that, he glorified God. He put God in first place. He honored God, even though he spent 2 years in prison, falsely accused. So you see, very quickly, the feast years. For 7 years, they gathered all the food together. And then the famine came, the good years. May I say to you, I've been blessed to live in, I think, the greatest time that anybody could live. The most prosperous time in the history of this nation. I've lived in that time. I want to ask you, what are you doing about laying up some stuff for the bad days? It's not, the good times are not going to always roll. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let the good times roll. But there's an end to the good times. And what we see today in our country cannot be sustained. It cannot be sustained. And so I listened last week. Some of you, I can see, a little sleepy today. You sat up and you watch some of those speeches. And they had something for everybody. Everybody. Now, the government doesn't make any money. They don't make money. They take money. And guess whose money they're going to take? Yours. And so when the government says, somebody comes and knocks on the door and they say to you, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. It is a lie. And so, there he is. We see his freedom. And God has given us freedom. Freedom like no one else in the world. God has given us prosperity like no one else in the world. And every one of us here rich by the standards of the world. The 7.4 billion with a B people in the world today. You are rich regardless of how poor you feel like you are. But fourthly, very quickly, we see Joseph forgiving, and I'm almost there. He's forgiving. And so his brothers came, and they bowed before him. You know the story. God had told Joseph this was going to happen. Joseph recognized his brothers. They did not recognize him. He remembered what God had said to him, that his brothers would bow down to him, and even his mother and father would bow down to him. And they did not believe it at all. But there they are, his brothers, bowing down before him. And he remembered, but he refused. He refused to execute his brothers. He refused to punish his brothers. I've read about a letter. There's a fund, they say. I don't know. The IRS has a fund they call the Federal Conscience Fund. The Federal Conscience Fund. That is, if you've cheated the government, you can send money anonymously to this fund. Okay? If you haven't paid what you should. So there's this letter that I saw for this guy who sent a letter to the IRS Federal Conscience Fund for those who cheated taxes, cheated. And here's what he said. He said, I have stolen from the federal government by cheating on my income tax, and I can't sleep. He said, I can't sleep because I've cheated the government. And he said, I have enclosed a check for $75. I've enclosed a check for $75. If I still can't sleep, he said, I will send you the rest of the money. Here's a check for $75, and I'm going to make a test if I can sleep. But if I can't sleep, I will promise you I'll send the rest of the money to you. That is not repentance. That is not repentance. And so they truly are repenting, his brothers. They truly repented. They changed mind, changed your heart, changed your soul about yourself, about your sins, about God. Repentance is an about face. It's a to the rear march. And they truly repented. And Judah said, God has found out the iniquity of his servants. God has found out the iniquity of thy servant. And God knows about our sins. And God knows what we've done. And so he revealed himself to him. Finally, he said, I am Joseph. Can you imagine the shock of these guys who wanted to kill him? And the shock of these guys who sold him into slavery. I am Joseph. And they thought, and he's going to kill us. He's going to do to us what we had planned to do for them. But there are three things that Joseph said to them, and this is the very crux of the message today. Number one, he said, God sent me. In chapter 45 in verse 4, or chapter 45 in verse 5, God sent me before you. He does not see the sins of his brother, but he sees that God sent him. That he's where he was because God sent him. Not because his brothers sold him, but because God sent him. I came to this church in 1965 because God sent me. I didn't hear any voices, but God sent me. There's every reason for me not to come. It's a smaller church. I took a cut in salary, and you think about salary, from $35 a week down to $25 a week, okay? So it wasn't anything like that. I just simply came because God sent me. And God has something for all of us to do. And God has sent you to this earth. God has put you here to do something that no one else can do. No one else can do. So God has sent you. And He's left you here for those years. So Joseph said the secret. God sent me. Are you thinking like that? Number two, he said, not only God sent me, but he said God made me. In Genesis chapter 45 and verse 9, thus said the son to Joseph, God made me Lord of all of Egypt. Joseph said, God made me Lord of all Egypt. God, do you have a job? Do you know where you got that job? God gave it to you. I didn't hear anybody say amen. God gave you that job. He gave it to you. Do you understand that? The house you live in, you know where that house came from. God gave it to you. The money you have in the bank or in stocks or bonds or the land you have, do you know where it came from? God gave it to you. He says, mine. No, God gave it to you. The abilities you have, do you know where you got those abilities? You say, well, I got them from my mother and my father. No, you didn't. God gave those to you. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. God gave it to me. Everything that I have, I told you about all the things that I thought were gone, that God gave them back to me, but gave more than I gave away. Things that I thought that were lost forever. And God, so he said, God made me what I am. There are no self-made men or women. There are none. There's no such thing as a self-made person. You are what you are because of the things that God has given you. God sent you and God made me. And thirdly, he said, God meant it for good. You meant it for evil. You wanted to hurt me. You wanted to destroy me. But God meant it for good. And I've had those who've done some real mean things to me. But you know what? I look back and I will say, God meant it for good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to His purpose. It's God's plan. It's God's hand. It's God's sovereign plan. It's what God wants. And I will live my life without bitterness. And so, God help me to have the kind of faith that Joseph had. Help me to have the kind of forgiving that Joseph had. Help me to have the kind of freedom that Joseph had. And help me to have the kind of forgiveness that Joseph had. And so, I don't know if there's somebody. Let me just ask you some questions as I close. Is there anybody that you won't forgive? Let me back up a notch and say, is there anybody you hate? I hear people say, I hate them. Well, I have bad news for you. God says you're a murderer. A murderer. That's where murder starts, with hatred. We should not hate anyone. Is there somebody you hate? Is there somebody you say, I cannot forgive them? No, it's not that you can't forgive them. It's not that you won't. It's that you won't forgive them. Is there anybody that you won't forgive. And let me ask you a third question. Are you able to forgive yourself? After God forgives us, He casts our sins in the sea of His forgetfulness, and He remembers them against us no more. And we say to God, "You Lord, You know what I did." And God says, "What are you talking about? I've cast that in the sea of my forgetfulness." The devil keeps bringing all that stuff up to us. And listen, we should remember, if God has forgiven you, then you are obligated to forgive others. If God has forgiven you, you are obligated to forgive others. And if God has forgiven you, you're obligated to forgive yourself. And to say that is in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And God has put a no fishing sign. No fishing sign. And says, leave it alone. There's a grave there. And all of us have some skeletons. No, I know. I can see. Oh, Brother Bill, I don't have any skeletons in my closet. Yeah? Lying's a sin, okay? It's a sin. All of us have things that if they were flashed up on that screen, we'd run like a turkey. Amen? Aren't you glad that God forgives and forgets? And God, we are obligated to forgive and forget. So by His magician, we come forward. I do not know what it is today that God has spoken to you. Do you realize if you're here today and you're unsaved, in just a moment we're going to sing "Have the Invitation Hymn" and invite you to come receive Christ. I'll be standing here in the front to receive you and open the Word of God and show you. Or maybe there's something in your life that you, somebody that you haven't forgiven. Or maybe you can't forget something. And you're not to the place where you realize that God has sent you. You haven't come to the place where that you feel like you've done some of these things, that you've made these things, and you're a self-made person, and you can't say, "God made me." And you can't say, "These things that have happened in my life, maybe the parents did do something wrong." And you say, and you can't say, "Yeah, they meant it for evil, and they tried to hurt me, but God meant it for good." If you're to that point where you see God meant it for good, there's nobody, Mr. Nobody or Mrs. Nobody, who can hurt you, okay? Nobody can hurt you. If you're to the point where you see God's hand in everything and you see God made it for good, God speaking to your heart, would you come? Shall we stand, please?